I had never given a great deal of thought to the baby before he arrived. I had considered the practical aspects of hiding a baby in the house, certainly. I had envisaged the baby as a difficulty that needed to be resolved. I had not taken into account that he was my flesh and blood. I had not expected to love him. He was Emmeline's, that was reason enough. He was Ambrose's. That was a subject I did not dwell on. But he was also mine. I marvelled at his pearly skin, at the pink jut of his lips, at the tentative movements of his tiny hands. The ferocity of my desire to protect him overwhelmed me. I wanted to protect him for Emmeline's sake, to protect her for his sake, to protect the two of them for myself. Watching him and Emmeline together, I could not drag my eyes away. They were beautiful. My one desire was to keep them safe, and I soon learned that they needed a guardian to keep them safe. Adeline was jealous of the baby, more jealous than she had been of Hester, more jealous than of me. It was only to be expected. Emmeline had been fond of Hester. She loved me, but neither of these affections had touched the supremacy of her feeling for Adeline. But the baby... Ah, the baby was different. The baby usurped all. I knew how ugly Adeline's anger could be, had witnessed the extent of her violence. I began to spy on Adeline. My old days of haunting came in useful again, as from behind curtains and yew trees I watched her. There was a randomness in her actions. Indoors or outdoors, taking no notice of the time of day or the weather, she engaged in meaningless repeated actions. She was obeying dictates that were outside my understanding, but gradually, one activity came particularly to my attention. Once, twice, three times a day she came to the coach house and left it again, carrying a can of petrol with her each time. She took the can to the drawing-room, or the library, or the garden. Then she would seem to lose interest. She knew what she was doing, but distantly, half forgetful. When she wasn't looking, I took the cans away. Yet despite the waywardness of the petrol cans, she persisted in fetching them from the coach-house and secreting them in various places around the house. I seemed to spend half my day returning the cans to the coach-house, but one day, not wanting to leave Emmeline and the baby asleep and unprotected, I put one instead in the library, out of sight, behind the books, on an upper shelf. And it occurred to me that perhaps this was a better place, because by always returning them to the coach house, all I was doing was ensuring that it would go on forever, a merry-go-round. By removing them from the circuit altogether, perhaps I might put an end to the rigmarole.